So we are in a series considering some of the I am sayings recorded in John's Gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We considered last week, and in the weeks to come, we will consider many others. It was originally the plan that this sermon would come later in the series, but for all sorts of reasons, it's come today. And the verse at the heart of this is verse 58. And I want to say thank you to Helena for reading this morning. I knew it was a challenging passage because you have this discussion between Jesus and religious leaders. But you read it very well, and thank you. Thank you very much. Practice. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So verse 58 is the key verse. And in one sense, it seems to me that it's not just the key verse in this I Am series, but it's the key verse almost in history. Very truly, I tell you, the old Bibles used to say, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I am is not just a play with words. It is the moment when time, promise, hope, and God Himself converge in one person, the person of Jesus. Now, we're not long past Christmas, are we? I can't believe it's February the 1st today, but it is. And in the other Gospels, in Matthew and Luke, they begin their Gospels with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. The circumstances surrounding his birth, before it and after it. Mark, probably the earliest of the Gospels, begins with the public ministry of Jesus. So the question is, where does the story begin? Where does Jesus begin? John's Gospel was almost certainly the last of the Gospels to be written. Decades, maybe 20, 30 years after the others. John writes his Gospel and frequently refers to things that he has seen, felt, touched, or done. And John begins his gospel, as you will very well know, with these words: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that light was the light of all people. The climax of the prologue is this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So rather than get too involved in the earlier part of the discussion, let me take you to the question, which is in verse 53. put to Jesus by the Jewish leaders, the theologians, the scribes, the teachers, and possibly the priests as well. Who do you think you are? This they said of Jesus. Who do you think you are? Now, we read that with a kind of English tone of voice. Who do you think you are? And maybe they did say it in that, but let's give them the credit. Who do you think you are? And Jesus' answer to that is in verse 58. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, what is Jesus claiming here? Well, some of you are probably before me. You are in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. Another conversation here, but this time between God and Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Moses is having this discussion with God as to whether he's going to obey God's call or not. And he says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. There is no doubt in my mind, nor was there any doubt in the mind of those who heard Jesus, that when he says to them, before Abraham was born, I am, he is claiming or acknowledging his deity, his divinity, that he is God in one part. And John is very careful to recognize this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is God, and yet is with God. So we have the beginning here of seeing the Trinity at being, if you like, rather than at work. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we're considering who is Jesus this morning. I want to ask you the question that the Jewish leaders asked of Jesus. Who do you think he is? Who do you think he is? Is he just another religious teacher? Or is there more to him than meets the eye? Because Jesus claims in this verse to be part of God, to be divine, to be part of the deity. Now, obviously, that was a kind of a pretty amazing thing for anyone to claim and for anyone to hear. Let's just take a step back for a moment. The Jews were expecting a Messiah. Messiah, an anointed one, someone on whom the Spirit of God dwelled. The Messiah was expected to be a messenger from God. The Messiah was expected to be a king like David, a deliverer, someone who would, and I say this without any jest, make Israel great again. MIGA. Make Israel great again. Kick out the Romans. Let's reclaim our land. Let's make Israel great again. This is who they were expecting. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? some of the last words that Jesus heard from his disciples before he returned to heaven. He says, "No, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." They expected that the Messiah would be the anointed one. That meant somebody who was anointed. Who was anointed? Kings were anointed with holy oil. Priests were anointed with holy oil. What they didn't expect was God himself. Had Jesus come as a king like David at the head of an army, they would have knelt before him. Had he come like a great priest in the Old Testament terms, like Aaron, they would have welcomed him. But Jesus does not come and simply claim to be the messenger from God with an unimportant message that they need to hear. But he says, "I'm God. I am the God one." And yet, he is a man. The Word has become flesh. Of course, another thing to remember is it would have been almost impossible to be an atheist in that first century Jewish community. Israel was all about Yahweh, God, the great I Am. The Jerusalem temple stood at the center of the national religious and social life. It was where the sacrifices took place. In the holy place was the place where God was believed to dwell, and his presence was there. And the expectation was that God would act. And here is Jesus. And he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." But Jesus is not only claiming divinity or deity at this point. And I may say in passing that throughout this series, when we look at the I am statements of Jesus, remember this context in which it is all set. For Jesus is not only claiming to be divine, God in flesh amongst them, but also to have existed, to have been before time itself. He doesn't say before Abraham was, I was, but he simply says, I am. Am. I think it's in Hebrews we get Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John, remember, is writing this decades after. And yet the details are as fresh in his mind as when that conversation first took place. And he has spent years thinking about this, as has the church. Who do you think I am? Almost everybody today would agree that Jesus the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, I should say, was a great teacher, that was a genuine historical figure. He lived and died, they would say. We are saying more than that as Christians. We are saying that Jesus is the Christ and that he is God and that we believe in his pre-existence. So Jesus' claim is not merely chronological to say that I am older than Abraham. Abraham had a beginning, he lived in time and he died. Jesus is simply, I am, placing himself outside of time itself. It's an old, very old hymn, which I doubt whether many of you have heard of. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, great and fair, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We are creatures of time. We live in time. We're older now than we were when we came into church by at least 45 minutes, if not an hour or two. But there will be a time when time will be no more. But there we will encounter Jesus, I am. Okay. So there are two things that follow from that, which we discover within this passage. That Jesus is claiming to be pre-existent, yet present in that moment in front of those people. God Himself stands. Needs must. In that moment, God Himself stands. He is pre-existent, yet present. And at the same time, he is present, yet pre-existent. Which makes the death of Jesus all the more shocking, and the resurrection of Jesus all the more central. In one sense, that's taking us forward into Lent, and particularly to Easter. But for those like John and those who followed Jesus, who believed in him, who worshipped him as God, and you only worship that which is divine, you worship yourself. You're worshipping the wrong thing. To have seen the Word made flesh hang upon a cross and die must have been extraordinarily distressing. I'm still struggling with the thought, what happened to the Word during those 3 days? Oh, there are lots of theories about what happened to Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Can you kill that which is existent before time, through time, and after time? What extent is that incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth? And as we wrestle with this, we can understand how some of the heresies came into being. That Jesus was just a man who lived and died, and somehow the Messiah came down and left him, and so on and so on. But we don't need to go into those things this morning. I felt when I was preparing this, and when I was thinking about it, as I have for much of the week, like somebody who cuts a diamond. I've never cut a diamond, but there was a huge diamond discovered on one occasion, and it was in its uncut state. And to be revealed in all its glory, it needed to be worked through. And the person that was working on this diamond knew that they had one chance. If they hit it just right, it would reveal its full glory. And if they got it wrong, it would shatter into thousands of pieces and become worthless. And I feel a little bit like that with this verse, almost with this theme which we have or are developing with you today. My hope is that I haven't shattered this into a thousand pieces, but that you will recognize that what we hold as Christians in considering that Jesus is I am is probably the most important thing that we will ever grasp as Christians. Jesus is not merely pre-existent, but eternally present. So is he here? Yes. Can you see him? I was going to say no, but look into the faces of your brothers and sisters here in Christ. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is not merely a messenger, someone who came to give us good advice, but he is God among us. And Jesus is not merely fulfilling prophecy, but revealing divine identity. I am is not just a grammatical curiosity. It is the moment when time, promise, hope, and God himself converge in one person. Jesus says, "Who do you think I am?"
Thank you, Peter. We're going to stand and sing our final song, which is In Christ Alone.